Well, we think that Bitcoin is like gold 2.0. So whatever the reasons, your reasons for investing in gold, whether it's scarce, durability, portability, fungibility, we think that Bitcoin matches or beats gold across the board in all of those categories. It's actually not scarce, it's fixed. We think that Bitcoin disrupts gold. We've been saying this since the market cap was $1 billion in Bitcoin. We're 300 times more correct today, and we think that there's a chance we'll be 20 times more correct from here on out.
World leaders and the biggest names in business arriving by boat for a climate change conference in Paris, though no sign of Donald Trump. French President Emmanuel Macron organized the One Planet Summit back in the summer, just days after Trump announced he was pulling the United States out of the Paris Climate Accord. In a pointed piece of timing, Macron used the eve of the summit to award 18 Make Our Planet Great Again grants to foreign climate scientists. Most of the winners are currently based in the U.S. and will now relocate to France.
You know, I really want to thank you for coming tonight and realize when the vote is this close that it's not over. And we still got to go by the rules about this recount provision, but we also know that God is always in control.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It's December 13th, 5:11 in the morning. Glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. Lots to unpack this morning from the opening montage. The big Senate race down in Alabama, the Democrat Doug Jones beating Roy Moore. Roy Moore there in the last audio from the montage talking about a recount. It looks like the totals are above what would trigger an automatic recount in Alabama. 0.5%, a half a percent is the threshold. Doug Jones winning by more than a percent and a half. The Democratic race for U.S. Senate in Alabama. Already this morning, there are calls from fellow Democrats to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to seat the new senator as soon as possible, possibly even before the end of the year, so he can vote on the tax package. But Mitch McConnell has indicated that Doug Jones will not be seated until the next session of Congress sometime in the new year. So we'll be following that story this morning as well. Also, a little bit later in this program, we'll be talking about how perhaps you want to be a little bit more conscious of the earth as you give gifts this year. Emma Kennedy will be with us. She's a journalist who's written about this. It's a hard thing to do, but she has some tips on how we can all be a little bit more earth conscious in our holiday buying. And Greg McBride is here this morning. He'll talk a little bit about interest rates. The Federal Reserve will likely raise interest rates today, and we'll get into that with Greg momentarily. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward a weak open on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures up 15 points, NASDAQ futures up 9, S&P futures up just about a half a percent. Just about a half a point, I should say. The Nikkei in Japan is off about a half a percent. Hang Seng is up about a percent and a half. The Shanghai is up about a half a percent. Most of the markets in Europe are lower as well. The DAX off about a quarter. And the FTSE in London, though, is a little bit higher by just a fraction. The CAC is up down, I should say, by about 7 points. Oil is trading at $57.57 a barrel, which is up about 43 cents. A couple of stories we're watching for you on the tax plan. There is a word Congress, the Republicans, are swiftly putting together a tax package, conference package that would pull down the top tax rate for wealthy Americans to 37%, slash the tax rate for corporations to a level slightly above what businesses and conservatives wanted. Republicans in Congress yesterday rushed toward a deal. Lawmakers and aides labored to blend separate tax bills that were passed recently by the House and Senate. The Republican goal is to deliver to President Trump the first major rewrite of the U.S. tax system in more than three decades. European Union chief and Brexit negotiator Michael Barnier says there will be no turning back for Britain on commitments made during an initial divorce deal between the two after his U.K. counterpart insisted it was merely a statement of intent. He told legislators at the European Parliament today that negotiations so far have been extremely complex and extraordinary, but insisted that he had made no concessions to the British side. And Johns Hopkins University will stop buying stocks and bonds of companies that produce coal for electric power as a major part of their business. The university's board of trustees voted last week to divest the university from separately managed investments in thermal coal. Well, the Federal Reserve is wrapping up 2 days of meetings today. Likely we'll see an interest rate hike. Greg McBride is chief financial analyst at Bankrate.com and is back with us this morning here on The Opening Bell. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Good having you. Hope you're well. Let's talk a little bit about what the Federal Reserve might do today. What's everybody thinking?
Well, I think they've pretty well telegraphed that we will get our third interest rate hike of the year, and this is going to be the fifth hike in the last 2 years since they started the cycle of raising rates. And I think they'll also send a pretty clear signal that there's more to come in 2018. So I think the cumulative effect that this has on borrowers, particularly consumers that have credit cards and home equity lines of credit, something we're going to have to keep an eye on.
I want to get into more of that in a bit, but let's talk a little bit about, just the thought of this. I know we often say that the markets have baked this in. 70% of economists I'm seeing have believed this will happen today.
Well, 70% of economists that we've polled think we're going to get three more rate hikes in 2018. So today's rate hike is, as you said, baked in. I mean, it's nearly universal expectation that that's what we're going to get. The Fed does a good job of telegraphing these things. The last thing they want to do is surprise markets. So when we're going to get a rate hike, we know it's coming. Certainly the economic fundamentals justify another rate hike at this point.
And the economic fundamentals, let's talk about that. Inflation's up. What else has the Fed been looking at to make this decision today?
Well, the economy's been growing, and economic growth rate is, I think, somewhat surprisingly picked up in recent quarters, and even Q4 at this point is showing strong. We continue to see job growth, hiring taking place, the labor market's getting tighter and tighter. Inflation's, stubbornly low, although there is some evidence that the current run rate is a little bit higher. So I think all of that points to an environment where the Fed can continue to gradually withdraw that stimulus of those ultra-low interest rates we've enjoyed for the last 9 years.
Greg, hang on with us. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Greg McBride, the chief financial analyst at Bankrate.com.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, the federal government collected a record amount of tax for the month of November and also had a record level of spending for the month. It produced a budget deficit of more than $138 billion. It was up slightly from a year ago. The November deficit was 1.4% higher than a year ago, reflecting in part higher spending to deal with disaster relief. The U.S. Central Bank is expected to raise rates today for the third time this year, which allows banks to charge more to lend money, even though inflation has remained low. National parks in the U.S. will sharply drop the number of days they allow visitors to get in for free, a move that was criticized by opponents of the park's plan to raise entrance costs at other times of the year. Asian stocks were mixed today. Dave Schreiber, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. We're talking about the Federal Reserve, the interest rate hike today. Greg McBride with us today from Bankrate.com, where he's the chief financial analyst. Greg, the interest rate likely to go up by 0.25%. The Fed funds rate to what, 1.37%? Historically, where does that put us?
You're still historically at very low levels. You recall back whenever we had the dot-com bust, the Fed cut rates to what was then an unheard-of level of 1%. And that's where we've been with a range between 1 and 1.25 since June. They're going to bump it above that level. And then, of course, during the financial crisis, they had to cut it to essentially zero. And they've been working their way up off of that zero bound over the last couple of years with these gradual quarter-point rate hikes.
The target is 2% with the meetings set for next year. Do you think we'll get to that by the end of next year?
Well, I think inflation is really going to be the wild card of Fed policy next year, in the sense that if inflation remains stubbornly low, if it doesn't pick up the way the Fed has expected it to, that could keep them on the sidelines and allow them to be a little bit more deliberate about raising rates. On the other hand, if we see a pickup in inflation, whether that's because of tax reform juicing the economy or whatever it is, if inflation does pick up and if it picks up a little bit faster than expected, you're going to see the Fed be more aggressive with interest rates next year. So I think really inflation is going to be the wild card that we're watching when it comes to Fed policy in 2018.
When we hear people say that they don't want to watch, we don't want the economy heating up. Well, what are the early signs of that? When we start seeing those, what will we see?
Well, I think there are a couple different avenues. I mean, one is an asset bubble. We saw that with dot-com stocks in the late 90s, saw that with housing in 2004, 2005, 2006 timeframe. And, you know, there's some argument now that, you know, we're at the beginnings of an asset bubble now, whether it's the stock market, the bond market, or even looking at, cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. So asset bubble is one. The other is just you look at the tightness of the labor market, and the concern is that tightness could lead to inflation. Now, we're not seeing it yet. Wage growth has still been mysteriously elusive in this economic recovery. But the concern is that as the labor market gets tighter, that could cause some inflationary pressure.
I was surprised to hear during his confirmation hearings, the new Fed chair, Jerome Powell, say he didn't think the labor market was particularly tight right now. Did I mishear him when he said that?
It is a little bit interesting. You look at the unemployment rate, down near 4%. There are 6 million open jobs right now, and a lot of that is employers can't find qualified workers. There's some debate about just how much slack is there right now in the labor market. There have been people coming off the sidelines and getting back into the labor market. But, the real problem that employers are confronting is the fact that, they've got open positions, but they can't find qualified workers fast enough to fill those positions.
Yeah, and there's even been some anecdotal evidence in recent weeks that even people with tarnished employment records are being hired. That's how tight it is.
Yeah, and I think that's good evidence of just the fact that it is. It's getting tight, employees know that they can get a better job elsewhere. And I think, ultimately that's something that's going to force employers to, boost wages in order to retain qualified people. To date, that wage growth has, it's really been hit and miss. What we see is the average American's getting a raise not every year, but every other year. And increasingly, those pay increases, they tend to be targeted towards people that are getting promotions, taking on more responsibility, or performance-based, rather than just peanut buttered across the entire organization.
How will Jerome Powell be different from Janet Yellen, do you think?
Well, I think there's a lot of continuity there. I mean, Jerome Powell has served under Janet Yellen on the Fed. So from an interest rate perspective, I think there's a lot of continuity between the two of them. I think the thing to watch is that there's going to be a lot of faces change on the Fed over the course of the next year. You've got the vice chair seat is also open. There are some Fed board governor seats that are open. And then, of course, at the beginning of the calendar year is when they rotate which regional Federal Reserve banks get a voting seat at the table. So the makeup of that Federal Open Market Committee, and it's a committee that decides interest rates, that committee is going to look a lot different 12 months from now than it does today. And so I think that is sort of the biggest potential for change, much more so than who's sitting in the big chair.
Greg, always good talking with you. We appreciate you being with us this morning here in the Opening Bell.
Thanks so much, Steve. Happy holidays.
Same to you. Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst at Bankrate.com. You can follow him on Twitter at BankrateGreg and also follow Bankrate as well at Bankrate.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. Apple announced that it's working with the city of Chicago to bring coding opportunities to Chicago students through its Everyone Can Code program. The program will teach CPS and college students how to use Swift, an Apple program that's created apps like Airbnb and Venmo. Chicago startup Reverb has officially launched its new record marketplace, Reverb LP. Reverb says that anyone can browse, buy, and sell records on the platform, giving vinyl fans more access to physical records. And former Groupon CEO and co-founder Andrew Mason has a new audio editing app, and it just raised $5 million from Andreessen Horowitz. The startup, called Descript, says it's making editing audio files as easy as editing word processing documents. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Wednesday edition of The Opening Bell. Holiday shopping season in full gear, just about a week or so left to get your gift buying in if you're buying for Christmas, and Hanukkah's already here. I bet a lot of you are out there trying to find gifts that match your values. This is not a new trend, but it's something that is catching on, and there's more of it being seen. Emma Kennedy is a freelance journalist and former editor at Dublin's The Business Post, and she's been writing about this. Emma is with us this morning from Paris. Emma, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Steve.
We saw your story, and this sort of hit home because I know people personally who are out there trying to find items that sort of match their conscience or are good for the earth. Can you give us a sense of how big this, if you want to call it a movement, is?
Well, I suppose it's probably worth recognizing that this isn't a new movement. We've seen for many years, for many decades, and even further back, a sense of consumer activism and consumers using their purchases as a lever for change, be that they're unhappy with the company's actions or a regime's actions in a particular country. So I suppose for some people, it's about choosing products, as you say, that align with their values. And for others, it's going a step further and taking a step back from consumerism and not buying anything at all. So there is definitely a sense that it's growing and maybe you've reached a tipping point. There's a lot of different figures out there. For example, the Fair Trade Organization in the U.S. suggested that their sales hit $6 billion last year, which is quite considerable, and that's only one specific pocket within this market.
The other part of this, too, is for folks who have decided to do this, it can be time-consuming and costly, and your story is sort of focused on how different companies and startups are trying to make that easier. Tell us about it.
Yeah, exactly. I suppose a lot of people have the aspiration that they want to spend, as you said, in line with their values. But going from aspiration to reality can be a little tricky because getting the data and finding the time to troll through it can be hard for people, especially at a time of year when they have a lot of other pressures. So a couple of companies, as you said, I wrote about for CNN Money. One is How Good, which is a company set up in 2007 by two brothers, Alexander and Arthur Gillett. And they basically rate food products. They've got 250,000 products rated. They rate them on 60 to 70 data points, looking at everything from the chemicals used to the way staff are treated in the companies. And they then, people can, when they go into their supermarket, they have deals with several supermarkets and food stores around the US, people can see a ranking. And that kind of just gives them a sense of, okay, is this food product I'm buying? Is it something that I want to buy? And how important are those data points? So I suppose it's about arming people with choice. You don't have to not purchase a product, but at least you're making an informed purchase. And similarly, Aspiration, which is an investment company and has also built a checking account and an app, gives people a personalized score when they make a purchase. So that score has two elements. It has a people element and a planet element. So similarly, if you make a purchase in a store, you know then that store does pretty well when it comes to taking care of their staff, for example, but maybe not so well on the environmental point. So once again, it's about putting information and choice in front of the consumer. It's not about forcing people to spend a certain way. That's obviously an individual choice, but it's at least letting them know that when they spend, they're spending in an informed manner.
You know, the app is a really good idea because it sort of takes the guesswork out of all of this, and not only that, it kind of keeps you on track, and having sort of a checking account where you can watch that, I would imagine, is very helpful. With all the money that now we see is being spent on this, is this encouraging more producers to get in on the game?
Well, I think so. I think some of the figures that Howgood gave me I thought were quite interesting. That food companies that get their top ranking, which means they're doing really well in all the various categories that Howgood ranked, see an average uplift in sales of around 230%. So for companies who are producing food, for example, that's a good argument to look at your production model and look at the way you treat your staff and look at your environmental footprint. So I suppose it is an agent for change. If consumers increasingly want to buy products that are built and made in a way that aligns with their values, we're going to see more and more companies produce those products. It's a simple supply and demand.
You know, one of the interesting parts, too, of this is I saw that, I guess when we think about buying sustainably and doing the shopping in these conscience feel-good areas, you think of specific companies, but this sort of ranks, at least how good does, ranks even companies we go to every day, like McDonald's and Pizza Hut, and you mentioned Papa John's and Burger King in there as well, so it doesn't have to be those specialty producers.
Yeah, I think that's a point that both companies actually made when I spoke to them, was that sometimes there's almost a sense that if you want to shop sustainably and you want to shop ethically, that you have to spend lots and lots of dollars. I think it's important for consumers to recognize that at every price point, they have a choice. They can decide, well, no, I'm not going to spend my money in that staff and address because they don't pay the staff enough, or whatever your particular value is. And I think it's important for people to recognize that at every point, regardless of your wage level, regardless of your income, you too have that choice. And sometimes it can be seen that we don't. It's important to remember we all have that choice.
There seems to be also here an investment opportunity for folks who may have more money, that they want to back companies like Aspiration and How Good and some of these other sustainability companies. What level of investment availability is there in these areas?
Well, definitely in Europe, impact investing is one of the fastest growing investment areas. I suppose there's a lot of family foundations and increasingly kind of more mainstream investors who are looking at these kind of companies, and they want to make a financial return. That's what investors want, but they also want to have a positive impact, be it on the planet or on a specific social cause or social question. I think we've seen a growing interest, and I expect we will see more.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but from a people standpoint, is there a level of feel-goodness about this, too, once you have made these purchases? What have you found talking to consumers about this?
Well, I suppose it depends. Sometimes the idea of making an ethical purchase can get slammed as greenwashing, or that it doesn't really make a difference. And that's a view that some people hold, and they're entitled to it. But I think a lot of people don't want to do it because it makes them feel good. They want to do it because they genuinely care about purchases. And one of the interesting things from some of the people I spoke to was the sense that in time, this won't be a factor of shopping. It will be just part of the course. We will do it all the time without even really realizing it as we have more data available. In the same way, when someone makes a purchasing decision, they think about, does something appeal to their tastes? Is it affordable? But this will just be another of the elements that they consider without really thinking about it. And I think if we got to a point where the production process's impact was considered in that way, that would really be a really good place to get to.
Emma, thanks for this good discussion, especially here around the holiday season when we're all giving gifts and buying a lot of stuff. We appreciate you being with us this morning here on The Opening Bell.
Thanks very much, Steve.
Emma Kennedy is a freelance journalist, former editor at Dublin's The Business Post. We're going to link out to her story from CNN Money on this. And also, you can follow her on Twitter at Emma_K_Journo. We'll link out to that as well. But we appreciate Emma being with us this morning from Paris. So we apologize for a little bit of the delay there in our conversation.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, it looks like it could be a flat open on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures are up just 8 points. S&P futures are off a fraction. NASDAQ futures up just 6 points. Gold and silver this morning are trading just a little bit higher. And oil is at $57.51 a barrel. Couple of stories that we're watching for you. Tax reform will be one of the big issues today on President Trump's agenda at the White House. ABC's Karen Travers is there with more.
President Trump is not expected to wade into specifics when it comes to the remaining sticking points between the House and Senate versions of the tax bill. Instead, he'll focus more broadly on the impact the final legislation will have for the American people. An administration official says the president has been very engaged behind the scenes working with members of Congress. But so far in public, Mr. Trump hasn't gotten into much detail on which version he likes better, which elements he wants to see included, and which he would be willing to compromise on. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
The federal government collected a record amount of tax income for the month of November and also had a record level of spending for the month. Taken together, it produced a budget deficit of $138.5 billion, up slightly from a year ago. The November deficit was 1.4% higher than a year ago. The Treasury Department said that reflected in part higher spending to deal with disaster relief and also higher spending by the government on interest payments on the national debt. For the first time for the first two months of this year, the budget year, the budget deficit totals $201.8 billion. That's up 10.6% from the same period last year. A lawsuit contends that female kitchen workers at McCormick and Schmick's seafood restaurant in Boston were subjected to constant groping and lewd comments from male supervisors and co-workers. The legal action also maintains that women's complaints to the company were routinely ignored. The lawsuit filed by five women, women highlights abuse and harassment by men against women in low-wage hospitality positions. Routinely, we see them in these cases and lawsuits facing sexual misconduct, sexual harassment, and even retribution for coming forward. We've heard a lot about entertainment and politics. This is the first major case involving the service industry. Toshiba Corporation and its joint venture partner, Western Digital, have made peace over an embattled Japanese electronic giant plan to sell the flash memory unit to raise cash to stay afloat. Companies said yesterday that the agreement allows Western Digital to participate in future investments in their joint venture, clearing the way for a consortium led by Bain Capital to buy Toshiba Memory Corporation. The deal also addresses concerns over protection of valuable patents and other intellectual property in the highly competitive field of flash memory products used in high-tech products. A federal panel has rejected Harvard University's attempt to prevent a new election that would decide if graduate students there can form a union, paving the way for a new vote. The National Labor Relations Board yesterday upheld a decision by a regional labor panel that nullified the results of the November 2016 election. Early results from the election found students voted against unionizing, but 300 ballots were challenged and were not counted. Many people looking at this from a national standpoint because it's something that could be repeated at universities across the country. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Wednesday, December 13th. The Commerce Department set later to release the Consumer Price Index for November. On Monday, the government reported that prices at the wholesale level rose 0.4% in November, 3.1% over the last year. It was the biggest annual jump in nearly 6 years and reflected a big spike in gasoline prices and the cost of other products, energy products. Last month's increase in the Producer Price Index, which measures inflation pressures before they reach consumers, marked the third straight month that wholesale prices have risen by 0.4%. The 3.1% rise from November of 2016 was the biggest 12-month gain since a 3.1% increase for the 12 months ending in January of 2012. Also today, the Federal Reserve Open Market Committee due to release a statement on interest rates, that coming at 1 o'clock Chicago time. Some of the things that could move the markets on this Wednesday, it's December 13th.